Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, May 21st. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. U.S. Senator Cynthia Lummis recently signed on as a co-sponsor of legislation that would designate Highway 287 as a, quote, future interstate, and rename it after President Trump. As KHOL's Jenna McMurtry reports, the route enters the state through Laramie and exits through Wyoming's two national parks.
Wyoming Department of Transportation spokesperson Jordan Young says the proposed legislation opens up a lot of questions.
So we're curious about Yellowstone.
That's because Young says a standard interstate requires a road be four lanes. That's two in each direction with exit ramps. The highway currently has two lanes in Grand Teton and most of the state. YDOT has wanted improvements on Highway 59 near Gillette and one section of the proposed interstate south of Laramie.
That's more where our engineers are at, is adding capacity that way rather than designating a full-blown interstate.
Lummis says the designation would lead to, quote, safer roads, faster freight movement, and more investment coming back to Wyoming. It's introduced at the committee level so far. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
A five-day jury trial found one of the attorneys who represented UW sorority members did not abuse the legal process during a years-long lawsuit that made national headlines. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor has more.
Attorneys John Knepper and Cassie Craven represented the group of Kappa Kappa Gamma members who sought to boot a transgender sister from their chapter. That case has been rejected three times by the courts, and it now rests in the hands of a federal appeals court. Rachel Berkness represents the trans member.
They blew this story up from just sorority gossip to a federal lawsuit. And as a result, her life has never been the same again.
The trans sorority member sued the attorneys after the national publicity of their case brought death threats on her. Langford settled with Craven last month for an undisclosed amount. Then last week, a jury found Knepper was not liable for either abuse of process or inflicting emotional distress. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
Some of the largest utilities in the West are entering a new system that allows them to share energy. The idea, called a market, has potential to prevent power outages and lower costs for ratepayers. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
The new system is called the Extended Day-Ahead Market. It builds on a real-time trading system that's been operating since 2014 and has saved customers across the West billions of dollars. Now, the goal is to move that coordination a day earlier. Brian Turner with the advocacy group Advanced Energy United says that can help utilities respond more efficiently when demand spikes.
When you have a day to plan, you know where the wind is going to be blowing, you know where the sun is going to be shining, and you can turn up and down your other generation, the coal plants or the gas plants.
Supporters say the market can make it easier to move renewable power like solar and wind across the region. Rocky Mountain Power, Wyoming's largest utility, is among the first participants, with more expected to join. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The state is looking at changes to this fall's wolf hunting season to prop up a disease-ridden population. The state has proposed cutting the wolf mortality limit to 22. That's half of last year's total. It would impact state land between both national parks and the Wind River Reservation, where the state regulates hunting of the apex predator. This winter, the Wyoming Game and Fish Department confirmed an outbreak of canine distemper. The state-managed wolf population plunged to 132, down from its objective of 160. That's the lowest since 2005. Only a third of pups are thought to have survived the year. The department is hosting a public forum on proposed changes, including the wolf hunting season, on Tuesday at its regional office in Jackson. The public comment period ends June 10th. Wildfires can close trails and char campgrounds, but as the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, new research shows some fires impact recreation more than others.
Using social media, citizen science apps, and cell phone data, Kyle mainly set out to quantify how hikers and campers respond in the years after wildfires. The researcher at the University of Colorado Boulder analyzed more than 200 burn sites in California and Colorado between 2020 and 2024. In Colorado, he found visits dropped 8% on average in the first year after a fire. The drop was steeper after more extreme fires.
There's a lot of risk of trees falling. There's so many dead trees. They're all just like black and burnt. And a lot of people describe it as like an alien landscape.
Visitation didn't rebound even 4 years later in many spots, but it's a different story for low-intensity fires set intentionally for landscape health. Following those, visits either stayed flat or even increased. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Residents of two Johnson County cemeteries are getting long-deserved markers. The Buffalo Bulletin reports Sean Sullivan and Tim Lowe's are on a mission to identify all unmarked graves in the Willow Grove and Casey cemeteries. Sullivan thinks there are over 1,000. They've been working from oldest to newest and so far have placed over 300 survey markers engraved with the deceased's name and date of death at their newly rediscovered resting place. A Jackson bike shop had an unusual customer stop by in the wee hours of the morning. According to BuckRail, wheel wranglers shared a security camera video of a mountain lion padding through the shop's display bikes at around 3:30 a.m. They captioned the post with the acknowledgement that they, quote, sure do get a lot of visitors to the shop. Three Wyoming hospitals have been recognized. Laramie's Ivinson Memorial Hospital, Jackson's St. John's Health, and Sheridan Memorial Hospital have been named among the National Rural Health Association's top 20 rural hospitals. They're evaluated on things like outcomes, patient perspective, and financial performance. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. When was the last time the Yellowstone supervolcano had a super eruption? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, how many Wyoming governors have served three terms? There was just one. Democrat Ed Hirschler, who held the office from January 6, 1975 to January 5, 1987. Before that, the Kemmerer Democrat had served in the Wyoming House for nearly a decade with a small interruption to serve as Lincoln County Attorney for a year. Hirschler passed away 3 years after he left office at the age of 71. Congratulations to William Rhodes, the first to offer the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Stay warm and dry, and join me again tomorrow.